Willkommen zur 7. Folge des Berlin Thunder Podcast. Heute auf Englisch, denn wir haben unseren zweimaligen Defensive MVP Feel the Thunder. Two-time Defensive Player of the Year, Kyle Kitchens. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
Welcome to Berlin. When did you arrive?
I arrived last week. I want to say sometime last week in April, but I forgot.
Did you miss Berlin?
Yes. I love the city. I miss Berlin.
Where did you spend your off season?
I spent my off season in Atlanta, just training, coaching, just pretty much in Atlanta. Well, Decatur most of the time.
You coach? Who did you coach?
I coached my football. I worked out with like my football players. And also I coached lacrosse.
You coached lacrosse?
Yes.
Really? Like high school lacrosse or what type of level?
I coach high school lacrosse. So over there we have JV, so which is like 9th and 10th graders. And we have varsity, which is like 11th and 12th graders. So I mainly focus on the JV, 9th and 10th graders, but I also helped out with the varsity too. So mainly being a head coach for JV, but also being like a defensive coach for varsity.
It's interesting because lacrosse really isn't a thing over here.
Well, when I looked it up, you know, you just look up things. One of my coaches played for, I want to say, Team Israel. They have a lacrosse team, and like a worldwide lacrosse tournament that he played for. And what happened is you have, I forgot. You basically have a lot of people. You have a lot of people who get together and they just play worldwide. So what happened is, I'm forgetting.
They get together to do some kind of tournament or?
Yeah, they get together and do some type of tournament. Like, so last year he went to Japan and they played in Japan. But when I looked it up, actually Berlin has a lacrosse team. And so when I was coming back to Berlin, I was like, maybe I can go check out a lacrosse team one time. But I just haven't really focused on it too much.
So you want to maybe as a sidekick coach there?
Yes, maybe.
That'd
I
be
might,
great.
Might have to bring my U.S. ways to Berlin.
Lacrosse over in the U.S., is there a professional successful league? Or is this more of a college sport or high school sport?
It's a professional league, but most people just go to college and then they're done after college. But they have different club teams, just like in Germany, they have different club teams. But they also have a professional team, which most people do not even make it to the professional league because they don't really pay that much unless you're like a top player and you get like endorsements from left to right.
Have you ever thought of becoming a professional lacrosse player?
I have. Coming out of high school, I have thought about becoming a professional lacrosse player.
Why didn't you go that route? Why you decide for football?
Football was paying me more. when I was leaving college, high school, they were paying me more.
So you spend your offseason in Atlanta coaching lacrosse and obviously working out. Take us a little bit behind the scenes of your offseason programming. Did you look at video? Did you study yourself from last season? Have you kind of like draw out the Kyle Kitchens version 2023? That's how I want to play like. That's how I want to look like. I'll need to lose this amount of pounds. I mean, the first time I saw you, you told me you're in the best shape ever. How did that come apart?
I mean, basically, I go home. So as soon as I arrive home, I take probably 2 to 3 weeks off. Don't want no football. I just coach, help out my team. And then after that, it's go time. So 2 or 3 weeks, that's like the end of October, going into November. So it's time to just train, eat, and sleep football, really. So I'll go home. Once I wake up, I'll probably wake up probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's just me because I have an overnight job. But I wake up 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, go to the school where I can coach, train my football players, and still be able to train at the same time. So this is the whole November. So coaching, training. Then after that, go home, go to sleep, eat, probably go to work. I worked overnight shift at like Kroger. So I worked overnight shift, grocery store, worked in just the same routine. Boom, boom, boom. So on the bright side, I had my training partner. Well, I have like a training team, but I have my training partner Terrion Robinson. So we train together all the time with our coaches, Coach Zay, Coach Phil, and Coach Kenyon always been around us. So they like our training coaches, and we are like this, the training players. So me and my friend Terrion Robinson, we're just training together. Anything we're doing, we're just going to get it. We're going to get it. And then our coaches come and like observe us, seeing how we're doing. And they also help us. They also help us on the field work too. So we do Monday through Friday training in the gym. Saturday and Sunday we're probably on the field, just running. Well, he played wide receiver, so I'm trying to run. I'm trying to run routes with him just to keep my conditioning up. But I also have to work on my hands too, just to make sure that my hands do not lose no lack of technique. So that's working on technique a lot. Footwork, working with him because he's a wide receiver, so he probably got better footwork than me. And then vice versa, he's working with me with hands. He's a wide receiver. Sometimes people jam him up. He got to work with me with hands. So I'm doing that November and December because my school give us access to work out at our gym, but we also have a football field. So it's just like gym all the way to the football field. They are right next to each other. So that's November and December. Then January, I have to like start slowing down. I start getting into a schedule because I still have to coach lacrosse. So it'll probably be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, training in the gym. Sometimes I go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Most of the time I take Thursdays off. Friday I'm on training. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday training, Saturday, Sunday on the field. But then when the season starts, so that's January to, I want to say, the end of February. That's all I'm doing right there. So training, because we have coach stuff, because I have to coach lacrosse. So once I coach lacrosse, that sometimes take away the time, just depending on who's using the field at the time. So you have soccer, girls lacrosse, then boys lacrosse, all using one field. So we have to really pinpoint when we can hit the field. We got to pinpoint when it's a good time just to stay in the gym. So most of the time, we're just in the gym. If the practice start from 4 to 5:30, if the practice is from 4 to 5:30, then I'm gonna train after. So that's from like 6 to 8, then go to work. If practice is from 5:45 to 7, then I'm gonna train before. So that's 4 to 5:45. Just only gym work, working, making sure you have active recovery, yoga at the end. Also, we doing our strength and just normal gym stuff like bench, squats, shoulder press. So we're doing that January to February. Then March, that's when the things start getting a little hectic because that's when the seasons really like kick off for lacrosse. So I have to make sure my schedule is pinpoint for me working out. Also, I have to make sure I can go to work. And then I also have to make sure that I'm still training for myself. Because if I slack on my training, then it'll show up in the season. So I'm doing all this March to April. So that changed to like Monday through Thursday. Friday's off because we normally travel to games and everything. Saturday and Sunday. Mainly Sunday was probably the field work. So Monday through Friday, just training in the gym. Saturday, Sunday on the field. Mainly Sunday though. Friday was always, then I had to change to Friday being my off days. So it was March to April. As the season started getting closer and closer, I started looking up film of last year. What can I do better? How can I improve? What can I go in? What's my mindset? Make a vision board and then try to stick to my vision board and my goals to achieve all my awards and anything. So one of my visions is always to be a champion. I want to make sure that I want to be a champion, but it takes points to get to a championship. No matter how you look at it, that can be winning every game. That can be winning the conference. That can be being the best defense, being the best offense, you know, anything. So championship always go first. Then you write down the goals that lead up to the championship. And then you break off to how can I make sure I lead up to them goals to end up to leading up to these championship goals. So mainly my main goal is to make sure I practice every day. Because practice is going to tend to lead into the games. You practice like you play, but it also practice make you get your swag, make sure you get your confidence. Because if you know what you're doing out there, you have more confidence. And once you have confidence, you can do whatever you want to do on the field, you know. So if you practice a lot, you're going to get your confidence, and that's going to bring your swag. And play good, feel good, look good equals to being good.
Paying good. Getting there.
Yeah.
Trying to get there. So you really look at it from a top level. The goal is to win a championship. And then you break it down into sub-goals. And those sub-goals are related to your person. Do you say, my goal or the overall goal is to win the European League of Football Championship? In order to do that, we have to be the number one defense overall. In order to be the number one defense, I have to play my part. And in order to, and then your part is measured by X, sacks, interceptions, tackle for loss, whatever. And in order to be able to do that, you have to practice this, 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 and that. In order to practice this, you have to have a schedule that is according to all other responsibilities. You know, you break it. Is this what you do?
Yes.
You break it down? Gotcha. All right. This is how it works, folks. So if there's a young guy, young girl out there listening, this is how you break down goals in order to actually be able to achieve them. Not to achieve them, to just put yourself in the position to possibly achieve them. Because if you just look at a big mountain of a goal, like winning an Oscar, it seems, you know, impossible. But impossible is really nothing if you're able to break down that big dream, that big goal into little sub-goals that are actually manageable.
Yeah, so you break them down. So the goal is always going to stop. But if you break it down to objectives, now you're reaching to your goal. The goal is the ultimate, but besides the goal, you got to have objectives to make you move forward, because objective is more so you can go past the objective, you know. So I can get 4 sacks, but if I go past it, I accomplish my objective and succeed in my objective in order to get to my biggest goal. Objectives end up to goals.
So when did you learn this? At what age?
When I probably learned it at, probably when I was this, probably 11th grade.
And when did you start living it?
When I started living it, probably in college. Probably started living it in college. Definitely like my sophomore year in college. We won our first conference championship. Of course, I talked to my coach, Coach Kenya, a lot. So he sent me quotes. He sent me stuff. He asked me questions every day almost. And so we just pinpoint everything like he's just a good mentor to me. So definitely without him, I don't know if I would learn Ajeta. I would never learn if Ajeta is equal to goals.
Do you regret not implementing this in your life earlier if you would talk to your younger self?
Yes. I felt like I would have been better in school, probably had more A's and B's for a course. I probably would have went a different route. So probably more into stocks, more into investment, stuff like that. So I would have did a lot of things differently.
I mean, it's about role models. I don't know, in your life, maybe you can tell us, but I never had like a father figure. So I grew up without my dad. So I never had this male presence in my life that I would have needed at the time when I played football, at those, you know, like 13, 14, 15 years old, those very critical years in a child's development, I never had a male figure in my life that, you know, could have taught me that. And this is also part of, you know, motivation for me having a son, is to being that stronger male presence. There's obviously strong female presence, but I'm male, so I can only be the strong male presence in his life and try to teach him the stuff that I wish I knew earlier, or I wish I would have had somebody that takes my hand, figuratively speaking, and kind of like guides me the way. How was it for you?
Of course, my father was in my life, so he was a good father, you know. Very good, actually, you know. But, you know, just growing up, most of my time was spent with my uncles. I wouldn't say my father was out of my life, but, like, most of my time was with my uncles. Like, they was my, like, role models, father figures from the get-go. They always took care of me, made sure I was good, made sure that it was just a bond. So they made sure I got to school, made sure I came home, made sure everything was good. And my mom took on a lot of roles too, took on a lot of roles when I was young too. So that's the main goal. She took on a lot of roles, but she couldn't teach a boy how to be a man. So I tend to lean on my uncles more. And I guess that's where my coaches come in too. So out of a whole day, you 8 hours in school, typical in America. Them last, like, after you get out of school, probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then you go to practice. Anywhere you go is practice. So most of the time I played football and baseball growing up before I entered lacrosse, but I was in a male field, so most of my coaches was males, so I tend to look at them for advice, how to lead, how to be structured, how to grow up as a man too. So it was my uncles and it was my coaches who helped me the most. And so when I got to 10th grade, 11th grade, basically one of my coaches took me under my wings. My coach Kenya, also Coach Phil, and Coach Zay took us all under our wings and just got us to not being better than them, but help us get past their level of success. Because we looked at them like they were successful, and pretty much they are successful to us, you know. Coach Keenan, the way he moves and everything is just very, very businesslike. Coach Zay, he always give back to the community. And Coach Felt, he coaching a high school football team that's pretty good. Went to the state playoffs a couple of times, just won the region championship. So these are all the guys that we've seen from high school all the way to now, and we still talk now. So them are our mentors, our male figures, everything to us. So that's where I got my how to be a man, how to live your life like a man.
Before we take a look at the 2022 season, we're going to take a little break and be right back. Unser wöchentlicher Partner ist wie in der letzten Woche AG1 von Athletic Greens. Wir hatten es im Podcast mit Kyle gerade davon, was würden wir unserem jüngeren Ich raten? Passender Übergang, weil bei mir ist das so, ich würde meinem jüngeren Ich sagen, kümmere dich besser um deine Gesundheit, schlafe mehr, mache mehr Sport. Kümmere dich darum, dass du eine ausgewogene Ernährung hast. Und dabei hilft mir AG1. Denn ein Scoop hat 75 hochwertige Inhaltsstoffe, Vitamine, Mineralstoffe, Botanicals, Bakterienkulturen und weitere Zutaten aus echten Lebensmitteln. Bei mir, klassische Morgenroutine hat sich bei mir etabliert. Ich mache das jetzt seit fast einem halben Jahr täglich morgens auf nüchternen Magen nach dem Aufstehen an der frischen Luft, auf dem Balkon, 275 Milliliter Wasser, ein Scoop rein, am Abend zuvor in den Kühlschrank, stehe morgens auf, gehe auf den Balkon, atme tief durch, starte mit meinem AG1 in den Tag. Besser geht es nicht. AG1 wird mit Vanille und Ananas verfeinert und bekommt einen Teil seines Aromas von den enthaltenen Frucht- und Gemüsesorten wie Papaya, Brokkoli, Kirsche, Karotte sowie der leichten Süße von Stevia. ganz ohne künstliche Aromen. AG1 macht keine Kompromisse bei der Qualität. Leute, nehmt auch ihr eure Gesundheit selbst in die Hand. Macht's wie ich, macht mehr Sport, ernährt euch besser und nutzt AG1 als Ergänzung. Momentan, Thunder Nation, hat Athletic Greens da eine richtig coole Aktion für euch. Auf athleticgreens.com/berlinthunder erhaltet ihr bei Abschluss eines monatlichen Abos einen kostenlosen Jahresvorrat an Vitamin D3 und K2 plus 5 praktische AG1 Travel Packs. Gratis dazu. Und Neukunden unter euch erhalten außerdem das AG1 Welcome Kit inklusive der coolen Aufbewahrungsdose und dem Shaker zur Monatspackung dazu. Im Abo wird dir AG1 ganz entspannt monatlich frei nach Hause geliefert. Ganz ohne Vertragslaufzeit. Du erhältst jeden Monat eine Abo-Erinnerung, um zu entscheiden, ob du bei deiner Routine bleiben, pausieren, kündigen oder deinen Lieferrhythmus anpassen möchtest. Und mit der 90-Tage-Geld-Zurück-Garantie kannst du AG1 komplett risikofrei 3 Monate lang testen. Stellst du also fest, dass es dir nicht passt, was ich mir nicht vorstellen kann, bekommst du dein Geld zurück. Informiert euch jetzt auf athleticgreens.com/berlinthunder, testet AG1 völlig risikofrei und sichere dir bei deiner AG1-Erstbestellung einen kostenlosen Jahresvorrat an Vitamin D3 und K2 zur Unterstützung des Immunsystems plus 5 praktische Travel Packs für unterwegs. Gesundheitsbezogene Angaben zu AG1 und das Angebot findet ihr auf athleticgreens.com/berlinthunder. We are back with the 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. The year 2021, you played at Leipzig. You won a Defensive Player of the Year. We talked about this last year in the podcast, your way to Berlin. 2022 season, you played for the Berlin Thunder. You won back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year. Looking back at your first season in Berlin, what stands out?
What stands out? Pretty much our wide receivers. I feel like our wide receivers stand out the most. Also, just the whole presence of our offense, you know. They're moving to being probably one of the best offense because they got trained against one of the best defense. Of course, my DBs, of course the DBs stand out the most, you know, because they do most of the work. And then our linebackers, we have Boone, pretty a good leader. Also, the other D linemen, you know, they stand out the most too. I feel like I don't even have to do nothing because I feel like they can carry the weight for me.
So I visited you guys on Saturday at the training camp, the first time you really practiced all together. And I mean, look at the quarterback and but I visited you guys when you did like one-on-ones with the offensive line. And I looked at the D-line unit and it was something special in the air. It was not only, obviously, I mean, you're the center of attention. I mean, you're a superstar in this league. But there was a guy with the number 93 on his jersey that really looks like a problem. Like, I saw 2 steps and I looked at Björn and I was like, all right, he's going to be a mean guy in the middle. What can you tell us about him?
Chris, a guy that Chris is his name. He comes in. He works hard. He's ready. I told him, just beat your guy one-on-one. I take the double teams. I take the triple teams. You just beat the guy one-on-one. Go get your stats, and I'll play off you. That's my goal. I want you to be successful, and I also want you to bring back the Defensive Player of the Year. You know, I want to keep it in the team, you know. Awards stay in the team. Championship stays forever. So I think Chris is gonna be the guy this year.
Year 3 in the European League of Football for you now, just listening to you for the last couple of minutes, would you say that your role changed a little bit? Are you a more mature player? Would you consider yourself more as a veteran leader? Or is there still the hunger for a third Defensive Player of the Year? Is it still individual accomplishments that drive you? Or is it more, do you think the role aged like a fine wine, you know?
I think my role is still being hungry, You know, you can never go in this game not being hungry. So I always want to be hungry no matter what. And whatever comes with it, comes with it. But also be mature at the same time. Bring your guys along, because when you leave this game, who are you giving your throne to? Who are you passing your throne to? Are you going to pass it to somebody that you never taught, somebody that you never talked to? Or are you going to pass it to somebody that you're comfortable with, that you know they'll take over? So that's the goal.
So you don't want to keep sitting on that throne?
You always want to sit on the throne, but eventually you have to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
It seems to me like your role or your perception of yourself has had some kind of evolution.
I guess so, you know. Just, I guess, with Bjorn coming back, you know, helping me out and everything, talking to me, my coaches, all my coaching staff coming back, Coach K, Coach Johnny, pretty much, you know, I feel like the team is being a family more and more every day. So we're growing, but we're also growing as a family every day. And you never want to turn your back on your family, so you have to kind of be mature, and you have to grow just like anybody.
So last year when you joined Berlin, there were, I wouldn't say a lot of promises made, but you could clearly see the direction, especially Bjorn wants to have the organization going. Like his main goal is for you guys to focus on football and have no outside distractions. What of those little things during last season and now this season would you consider a big part of a step into the right direction from an organizational standpoint compared to other places you've been?
I would say giving us cars, you know. helping us with cars, transportation, because when we go to practice, of course, we got to catch the train. But it's sometimes nice just to drive to practice and come back, because that's not taking a whole day out of us or a whole hour out of us. That's more like taking 30 minutes, because you're driving at night and it's not too many cars on the road. But I say that. Also, practicing on grass field, I say that was a big jump, because now our body is not sore after every practice. We're able to recover faster, able to not have our knees hurt and everything. So I say practicing on grass.
So maybe for the Thunder Nation out there that does not know the difference between practicing on grass and practicing on fake turf, what is it?
So last year I had to practice with mainly shoes. And so that way I won't roll my ankle. It was better to plant better, but now I can get a common to practicing. I'm practicing on grass, which most of the teams in the Elf play on grass. So we're practicing on our home, practicing on something that we should be used to throughout the whole season. And we don't have to worry about the small aches in our bodies and everything, like hyperextending our knees, bad hamstrings. It's just nice and smooth at the end of the day.
So you just talked about the unit, especially the offense. So just looking at this weekend, what would you say, besides obviously on paper, the wide receiving corps stands out, but looking at the team, what would you say? The offense didn't really make a step into the right direction, because let's be honest, releasing is a stupid word because it's really a 1-year contract, but not extending Jack Crawford was something that was in that scene of the European League of Football was a kind of a big deal. It was a big news.
Yes. It was big that he is not returning back, because he's a great player and everything. But it's also one of them things that the league is becoming more passing. So it's hard to extend to a running back that runs the ball, rather than now if he plays slot receiver, plays outside receiver now, his game is more versatile. So he has to be more versatile now because we have to extend that. The game is becoming more passing every day. Now, if he was with Coach Heidenberg, who ran the ball most of the time, now that's a whole different topic because now you're getting the ball 30 times every game, and now you have to run it. And I think besides our wide receiver, I think our quarterback and our offensive line is going to be fun to watch. You know, I have big hopes for our quarterback too.
Talking about the change from a more run heavy league, especially the first year with Madre London.
Yes.
But also with Glenn Tunga last year, you know, and Jack Crawford, obviously, is one of the best running backs in the game. Looking at it, at the fact that it's more of a passing league, what did you change during the offseason in order to make that shift from your own personal development? Did you look at it as, hey, I have to go more into coverage, I have to be more versatile myself, maybe I have to lose a little bit of weight because I have to run more? Did you make a change for you personally, looking at the landscape of the European League of Football changing in that regard?
Yes. Now I'm just moving all around the world, moving all around the D-line. So I could be a 1 technique, 3 technique. Yeah, you never know. You never know how you're coming into the game. You never know who I'm attacking. Most of the time, I'm probably not going to attack the best. I'm probably not going to attack the best blocker on their team. I would attack him, but I want to create schemes for everybody else. So my whole mindset is creating schemes for all my other players. So if I can attack this, if I can attack the weak blocker, everybody pretty good, but if I can attack the weak blocker, then he has to bring the running back. Okay, most running backs are Europeans. I should be able to run through a running back. Now you got to bring somebody else. That's more likely a tight end, a guard, or a guard and tackle, wherever. You have to bring somebody bigger. So let's say you bring the tight end, so you have three guys. And now you have three guys trying to run the routes. I trust my DBs. They're going to stop three guys running into routes. Now, let's say you go 2x2. If I attack this tackle, boom, beat the tackle. Running back comes. Okay, I should run through the running back. And then now if the guard tries to kick back, there's still three guys on one. That's creating room for my other guys to win their one-on-ones and everything. So I'm just trying to create schemes. That's what I worked on throughout the offseason, talking to coaches and everything. We creating schemes for everybody else to win.
Was this a message sent to you by Coach Kufeld? And did he work with you remote?
Yes. Me and Coach K talked a lot during the offseason. And he helped me guide. We watched some film and everything, pinpoint to some stuff, and then we just trying to now, since we're in like our first training camp, what we just got done with our first training camp, it's time to move on and trying to put like our plan into action.
Looking at the inaugural season of the European League of Football 2 years ago, looking at last year, and now looking ahead to the 2023 season, what do you personally see in the development of the European League of Football top level?
Marketing. I think you can even just start with Instagram, having over 100,000 followers. That's impressive for a new league. Not many leagues have that. I don't even think Japan League has that many followers. So you can always start with marketing. And then just always improving, always trying to get your European guys, local guys into the next level. The next level for them is CFL, NFL. You know, they have the NFL pathway program, which a lot of guys attend to the combine. A lot of guys attend to the CFL combines. Recognizing names, you have local guys, you have for my team, you have Ludwig, you have Toby, you have Robin. Recognize them guys and elevate them. And now they're becoming a local guy in Berlin, superstars in Berlin. Plus, they're superstars throughout the whole Elf League. So I just say marketing is just keep improving every day.
Were you surprised of Turpin making that splash with the Dallas Cowboys last year?
I was never surprised because that's what he do. Turpin is the guy. Talked to him a couple of times during my offseason, you know. That's what he do. He's a very great guy. Very great guy off and on the field. And when he playing on the field, he just come to compete, playing football, and return kicks. But he also can play wide receiver. So I was never surprised. That's what he do.
Talking about versatility, you have Aaron Jackson, you have Max Zimmermann, and you have Robin Wilczek. Those three receivers. Looking at it from a defensive perspective, is this something that would give you headache in preparation for the upcoming Sunday, Saturday?
Yes, because you can't stop all three. If you double cover Aaron, Matt is going to go off. If you double cover both of them, somehow you manage to double cover, Robin is just going to eat your local guy up. I trust Robin over anybody, a European guy, German guy, wherever you want. I'm trusting him over everybody. Because last year, he was our number one receiver, you know.
And he barely played.
You know, and he was a little battling with his hamstring problems and everything. Now he's fully recovered. I have no problems. Like, Robin against a cornerback, good luck. He's going to take the top off. He's going to run past your German cornerback. He's going to run past your European DB. You can't man him. So what you going to do? Double cover him? Okay, we got Aaron. Aaron going to take the top off, run his routes right, run wherever he needs to run, get the ball to him. He takes screens to the house. Okay? You try to use your DBs to play over the top of them too. Okay, we got Massey. We got Massey Zimmerman in the middle. What's up? What you going to do? You going to put a linebacker on him? He going to run past the linebacker. Most people don't have a good nickel back. So you're going to put a nickel on him. You're going to run past him. One-on-one nickel, we'll take off. We'll still take off the top with him.
So and you have a big boy quarterback that can run the ball.
And we have a big boy quarterback that can sling it. So we ain't worried about it.
What was your first impression of him? You saw him last year with the Rebels a little bit, right?
First impression? He's a big guy. He can take some hits and everything, but also manage the game as much as possible. He's a gunslinger for sure, but he also learned how to take what the defense is giving him. And I'm pretty sure if defense gives short routes, he's just going to eat you alive and just manage the game and get down the field and score touchdowns. And then once you're inside the 10, now you got to worry about five people touching the ball, running back, three receivers, and a quarterback can run the ball too.
Looking at the running back position, you have a 1-2 punch combo in Tim Schultz and Albert Wiesigstrauch. What do you think?
Albert and Tim, them great guys. We're going to power you down with Tim. He's going to get his yards, but he's also going to be humble with it. So he'll get the 3-4 yards that we need. So that put us in second and 6. Now Albert comes in. Now either you're going to stack the box, cool. Albert can still play slot receiver that we forget. He is a versatile running back. We don't need you to be. Albert is also small. So we don't need him to be trying to get 4 or 5 yards. We just need you to spread the defense out. Okay? He still can play slot. He can still play slot receiver and get what you're going to do, linebacker on him? Cool. We'll pick on the linebacker, run past him. He was actually playing some wide receiver last year for us in Berlin Thunder. And he was actually doing pretty good. So now we're going to put a linebacker on him. We'll figure it out. We'll just pick on the linebacker. And most linebackers can't cover in space. So good luck.
Sounds almost too good to be true.
It does.
Looking at the opponents, one really stands out. It's the current champion, the Vienna Vikings. Are you looking forward to those two matchups?
Yes. I'm looking forward to playing Vienna. I'm looking forward to them. They champions, respect to them. But it's a new year, you know. Anything can happen. They still got to play with 11 guys on the field. So regardless, they were champions. They didn't play me. So I'm excited to play them. They didn't have to deal with our defense. Well, who knows? Maybe we were supposed to be champions last year. We don't know.
Tirol with a new acquisition in Sandro Platzkummer coming straight from the NFL. A homegrown player that used to be in the National Football League. I'm really excited to see it, you know, because does that really translate on the running back position?
Not if you don't have an offensive line.
Yeah.
So
Tirol's offensive line was decent.
It was decent. So I'm thinking, but they also lost Sean. So Sean was a big key to that offense. But having a solid homegrown running back that you know can do everything, he's still going to have to run in between the tackles and everything. So it just depends. If he has a decent O-line, cool, he'll be able to do what he needs to do. But if he has to be versatile, then he's just another receiver, you know.
Talking about familiar opponents, Hamburg, you're going to see Hamburg this year again. Big shift with them, you know, like major change, you know, like all the guys stepping down, lost Kasim, lost Miguel. How do you see Hamburg in 2023?
I still see him as a dominant opponent, you know, a top opponent at the end of the day. I'm excited to play them. I think with their DC, their own defensive coordinator, he's a pretty good defensive coordinator, so I know their defensive side is going to be good, but I don't know too much about the offense. They have Malik over there, so he's a dominant player. Respect his game. So I don't really know what they're going to do on the offense. Will they go into more spread? But they also lost one of the better old linemen, Lewis. I think he's from Great Britain. So they lost him. But I don't know yet. I don't know. It's still interesting, but I know their defense is still going to be tough because of their defensive coordinator, and I know respect his game, so I know he's gonna put their players, he's gonna put his players in the right position to make plays.
So talking about other points, let's focus before we wrap this up here a little bit on ourselves. You arrived at the middle of April. You just had the first practice all together last weekend. What are the steps in May in order to have a good performance at the beginning of June?
Steps would be making sure all our plays is fluent. So making sure that we're running every play right, making sure that we know how to make adjustments on the fly. So that's our steps now, just making sure every play that we do is fluent, and also making sure that every play that is busted turns into a good play. So that when we go into our first week, only thing we're doing is just making sure that we don't have no busted plays, no miscommunication, no missed trials like bad fumble. We getting beat on coverages and everything. Making sure that everything we're doing is 100%, but we're also giving 100% on the field.
Going back to your personal goals, what are your personal goals for 2023, Carl?
I want to be an MVP. I want to be an MVP of the league. I never did it before. Most of the time it's given to offensive players, but I think I can do it. I know I can do it.
Be the Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, I want to be an MVP.
What does it take to be that?
Being mean.
You already
being violent.
I mean, you already won 2-time back-to-back defensive player of the year. What does it take to be the MVP, Patrick Izuma? What does it take?
I guess it takes making sure when teams come, they know who you are. Making your plays and everything, being violent on the field, being mean on the field, using all that anger and everything outside to put it on the field and being afraid, making sure that your opponents are afraid of you. They know that when you're coming, they know it's a problem.
Mm. Truer words have never been spoken. Kyle, any last words for the Thunder Nation out there?
Thank you for the support, and we're excited to see y'all at the games and everything. Thunder, feel the thunder. Also, just thank you to Sammy for this podcast. Thank you. And of course, thank you to God and my family.
Feel the thunder.